here at the opening of the John Deere facility, brand new in Olathe, Kansas. With me is Kansas Senator Pat Roberts, who spoke here. First of all, Senator, tell me what you think this facility means for the state of Kansas and really for the entire world.
Well, it's an economic driver, number one, for Kansas, but it really is a symbol of American agriculture production. What this really means is our ability to produce food and fiber not only for this country but a troubled and hungry world. And if we cannot do that with a population increasing to over 9 billion in a couple of decades, we have to double our ag production. Now, we cannot do that and stand back and not feed the world from a nutrition standpoint, from a humanitarian standpoint. That's not acceptable. And it's not acceptable for a national security standpoint, because you show me a country that is not sustainable with their food supply, I will show you a country that is in a world of trouble and causing trouble. So this whole plant, this whole new center, signifies an investment in Kansas and an investment in our farmers and ranchers to be able to produce that food to feed this country in a troubled and hungry world.
Now, you talked about, of course, we've got an economic situation here and a budget situation in Washington, D.C., and it is undoubtedly going to impact what we're looking at and perhaps a 2012 farm bill if we have that. But it's already starting to have an impact on agriculture. What do you think about some of the things that are going on and how the budget deficit might impact our farmers and ranchers and our ability to produce food?
Well, we have too many people in the Congress who, and for that matter in the country, who do not realize the contribution that agriculture makes to the economy and to their daily life, and they take it for granted. We understand that in agriculture, our numbers are fewer. Farm groups, the farm organizations have tried mightily, but we become a target, and people have a bullseye on our back. Oh, we have to cut these farm subsidies, not realizing, of course, that we've already cut a whole bunch of them. So I'm just trying to say, as the ranking member and representing all the Republicans on the committee, yeah, we'll do our work. We must do our deficit reduction responsibilities. Farmers and ranchers want that. Hearings after hearings, they've said, we'll do that. But what they've also said is we have to have crop insurance. We have to strengthen and preserve our crop insurance. That's the one program that we have to have. Look at the drought that we have just come through. I hope we've come through it. But wouldn't you know that in a message to the Congress, the president says, guess what, let's cut crop insurance. What is he thinking? Where does he get his advice? It sure as heck hasn't anybody in agriculture. I don't know where he came up with that. That's not going to fly. That's dead on arrival. So we have our work cut out for us. I'm working with Frank Lucas from Oklahoma. He's the chairman of the House Ag Committee. Deborah Stabenow is the chairwoman from Michigan on the Senate side. And Colin Peterson, who from Minnesota. And we're trying, as principals, to put together a package that we can give to the super committee and say, okay, we've done our fair share. And by fair share, I mean across the board. I mean everybody is touched, everybody contributes, not just farmers and ranchers. That's a pretty tall order, and we'll see if we can get it done. And if we do that, and we are successful, it is conceivable we could do a farm bill at the same time.
Well, you also touched on the issue of overregulation, especially Environmental Protection Agency. That could be something that's something impacting farmers without even the Congress doing anything about it. Talk a little bit about what you think about some of the EPA's ideas.
I think about them every day because my farmers and ranchers and anybody that's in manufacturing or anybody that's in business, and I can't go to a meeting, a manufacturer, an entrepreneur, anybody that belongs to the Chamber of Commerce, anybody's in business, some down Main Street, without them hitching up their belt and saying, Pat, what in God's name are you doing passing all these regulations that just don't make any sense, about to put me out of business? And usually they'll hand me a reg that our staff is not even aware of. I've got a bill that takes the president's executive order on regulations clear back in January. We took the loopholes out, and we codified the regulations, and we put in what we call a stakeholder protection, that if you all of a sudden you get hit by a regulation, you have an amount of time to appeal it. I mean a long amount of time to appeal it so that, people can use some common sense and change it or tweak it or whatever. This whole regulatory reform would force every agency back there, the 13 major ones, including EPA, or what I call the End of Production Agriculture Agency, to take a look at all the regs that they have put out, Do they meet a cost-benefit standard that makes sense? And all the future regulations are pouring out already, and there are thousands of them. It's almost impossible to grab onto each and every one of them and try to fix that one without having an overall approach to this. Put a moratorium on, pass this kind of a bill, and let's do the kind of oversight job that we're supposed to do in the Congress.
Something else that I know you have strong feelings about, and that's the proposed GPSA regulation.
Oh, my goodness. Why? Yeah, here we go again. This is outside the parameters of the Farm Bill. As a matter of fact, it's outside specific recommendations or mandates that we said, do not do this. And they went around it. And I don't know why people do that in the regulatory business in these federal agencies. You know, some of these agencies are out of control. And what this would hinder the producer from producing a specific product for the marketplace, as opposed to everybody getting a certain dollar amount for a product overall. It would be terribly, terribly counterproductive to the livestock industry, and so we're fighting that as hard as we can.
Also, your state is obviously a huge livestock state, but you're also a big ethanol-producing state, and there's a bit, you know, a bit of a conflict sometimes between the ethanol producers and the livestock producers, especially when we have pretty tight corn stocks. What do you think at this point is going to happen with ethanol and the, you know, the well, RFS2, there's been moves to try and get rid of that. We obviously probably are going to get, the tax incentive is going to go away at the end of the year, but what do you see there?
Well, the tax incentive does go away at the end of this year. I'm a member of the Finance Committee. We'll take a hard look at that. We have 9 ethanol plants in Kansas. They do provide jobs, and they do provide an alternative. I don't like mandates. I just think when the government gets into mandates, they're making decisions they shouldn't. Look at Cilantro and all this stuff that is popping up about that. The government doesn't do a very good job at that. I hope the marketplace would. I think the ethanol industry would like to see some favorable tax treatment to invest in infrastructure so that they could get the product delivered in more places and, you know, just be in a better place. It's interesting to me that I cannot go to any station there in Washington, D.C. that doesn't have ethanol, and yet you come out to Kansas where we produce it and you can't find a station that does. So it's a little bit of a paradox there. But I think ethanol knows that they're under the deficit cutting gun, and so we'll just have to see what happens.
Well, I know there's a lot of other people here that would like to talk to you. Any final thoughts?
Just tell the producer to hang in there. We do have people that still represent agriculture on their behalf. They'd never put the seed in the ground if they didn't think they were going to have a good harvest, even with this doggone drought. And let's hope that Mother Nature is better to us. And we have to strengthen and preserve crop insurance, and we need a lot of help from foreign country to make that obvious fact clear to the White House.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. You bet.